Hello, this is James Grumvig with Jason Ean, returning guest, and I call him a biblical expert. You know, he might, not really, but he's got a great view on the Bible, on the Torah, on law, on a lot of things. And 2 weeks ago, we talked about something. We talked about what is the rock in the book of Daniel, in particular, Daniel 2:35, when God has a stone cast from heaven, no human hands ever on it. It's God's rock. What is God's rock? Well, we're going to try to answer that today in the show. And as I mentioned on Friday night, because this show is going to air on Sunday, as I mentioned Friday night, yes, James Grumman, a couple of colleagues from American Media Periscope, we're collaborating on making a documentary film on what the hell's happened the last 80 years and what's and how do we get out of this morass, out of this psychosis, and how do we bring justice against the evildoers, right? It's kind of a deep question, but the name of the film is Splintering Babylon. And yes, I wrote a script along with Alexander Bruce, and we put it into an AI-generated promo reel. It's not a trailer, a promo reel. And here's this two-minute video. We'll give us the flavor of what's really going on in the world. What is going on? As Vince Lombardi said, what the hell's going on out there? Well, let's take a look, Vince. Here we go.
Have you ever wondered if everything you've been told about our history is a lie? A thought-provoking question indeed. Many of us have grown skeptical, suspicious of the narrative we've been fed. What if the COVID psyop was not a mere health crisis, but the opening act of a meticulously planned final solution for humanity? A chilling concept, isn't it? As we delve deeper, we uncover a disconcerting possibility: the deliberate dismantling of Western civilization. Questionable events in history begin to make a curious kind of sense, like the standing ovation for a former Nazi SS officer in Canada. Or how about the hundreds of billions of dollars funneled towards Nazi fighters in Ukraine? These instances, seemingly unrelated, may be threads in a larger, sinister tapestry. And here's the kicker, the real shocker. What if I told you that the United States did not win World War II, but instead became a playground for occult Nazis? The post-war world, as it turns out, was not as it seemed. Occult Nazis, like shadow puppeteers, manipulated the formation of global powerhouses, including NATO, the United Nations, the IMF, and the WHO. They infiltrated the heart of American power, establishing the CIA, CDC, and NASA. The cabal didn't stop there, extending their reach into every crevice of Western governments. Their weapons? Bribery, extortion, and the seductive allure of sex, fame, money, and power. But some brave souls stood against this cabal, and their story is one worth telling. Splintering Babylon unveils the audacious tale of those brave American presidents who dared to resist the shadowy cabal. These courageous leaders assembled a global military alliance, designing a counterplan to dismantle the ominous Babylon Beast system. This plan, set on a parallel track, was timed with precision, its aim to save humanity from a catastrophic plunge into the abyss. As foretold in the books of Daniel and Revelation, the final battle is not between mortals, but God's law and man-made maritime law. The four horsemen of apocalypse are not heralding our end, but theirs.
Welcome, Jason. What do you think, first time you viewed this two-minute promo reel on what we're up to? Covers a lot of ground, right? The end of World War II into where we are today. And yeah, we've been psyoped, we've been infiltrated. The victor, the true victor, right, was the global cabal with the Nazis, rolled out the Fourth Reich after World War II. And all the books have been published. They've been rewriting history. Well, we're going to dig into truth. And I came across, you know, something very interesting. Like, how do we get out of this? Because legally, we know Supreme Court and every court under Donald Trump for the last 3 years, but it can fully expose from the election coup to COVID to all of this. How do we get out? And then I realized God's law. I mean, literally God's law. Jason, what are your thoughts?
Well, first of all, that promo video. Talk about if you haven't taken a red pill, that's just half a bottle right there in the promo video. I mean, that's great. I was captivated. I'm like, okay, I want to watch the rest. So thank you for bringing out the truth, just even in that 2-minute promo video, because it's very thought-provoking and stimulating. How do we get out of this? Well, that's a multi-gazillion dollar question, but I feel like the way you get out of it is to realize that people have to realize that we're in something to get out of,
Right.
number one. In other words, they have to realize that there's been a coup, there's been an infiltration of the Republic, there's been infiltration of the indigenous lands around the planet, there's been an infiltration of consciousness spiritually, and that people have to first realize and know who they are. When they know who they are, what we talk about here in Americans in Action, we approach everything from a spiritual point of view and using biblical principles to help you realize that, hey, who you truly are is a sentient being, a living, breathing man or woman soul. And everything that is happening in Babylonian Empire is a direct result of a construct that they created to enslave you, the living soul, and tricked you into believing that you're one of their subjects or a product of what they created. And if somebody goes into agreement with that, well, then by definition, they are subject to that particular reality, and therefore they're trapped in the prison that was created. The way out of the prison is to realize, wait, this is a labyrinth. That means I can exit out of her because there's an exit. But most people don't even realize that they're in a labyrinth, and they think whatever they're living in is the reality. And that's not true. So it's an awakening for sure. And bringing out truth like you're doing in your movie and on your channel here, and then other truthers around the nation and around the world are chipping away at that veil very rapidly. And like water, the truth comes up to the surface. And if you use God, spirit as synonymous to truth, well, then by definition, God is going to come to the surface, and we return to that which has always been, which is God's law. And God's law is simple: do no harm unto others, keep your word, and don't harm anybody else's property. Period. What's
Right.
property? What's property? You define that word. Property is your unalienable rights, your soul, your consciousness, your breath, right? Let alone your right to speak. Our Constitution addressed many of those rights in the First Amendment. Our Constitution addressed all of our unalienable rights, and even our preamble, we the people are endowed by our Creator. It says it right there. So it's always been there, always has been, and it comes from biblical principles. We just have to choose to return and remember that. And then as a result of that, we, with our collective consciousness, create a critical mass to the point where now the consciousness collectively changes, and now Babylon has no energy being fed into it, and therefore, by definition, it collapses like a sandcastle on the beach.
Yeah, it's exactly what's coming. I'm agreeing with you. Once we realize we just simply do not comply, don't go for the mandates, don't pay into their system, exit the system, create our own food, own parallel economy. Once that happens, there's nothing left.
Well, and think about it. People say, oh, tribes and this and that. Well, the planet, going all the way back to biblical principles, we lived off of the land. We lived off everything that we have in commerce is rooted directly from source energy, from the land, from, I don't care what it is, if you're making steel, or if you're making metal, or if you're building these big skyscrapers, everything that is depicted in commerce, it comes from something greater than the commerce. They have to use what has been presented and given to us for free,
Right. So
right?
you got the raw material, you need the energy, which often is the hydroelectric, they need water, right? So they need things that, like you said, are part of the greater.
And it does, and Babylon can only exist with one's voluntary consent and agreement, which is legal. It's contractually binding. So a mandate, as you brought up mandates, mandates are not law. There's very specific language that defines a law, and a mandate is not that. A mandate is basically, putting it very simply, it's a executive order with inside the construct of the corporation, within house ruling. What that means is the boss tells their employees, this is a mandate within our own corporation, but law goes through legislation. It goes through the House, it goes through the Senate, then it has to be reviewed by a real president who can veto it, send it back, or agree. Then it has to go through pass, and then it goes from bill to an act to a law, and that usually takes a year or so.
Correct.
When it's done lawfully and legally. So when people says, how do we get out of the mandates? How do we do this? Well, you just don't participate and you do it peacefully, and you can also do it administratively and challenge, for lack of a better term, from the derivation of where this mandate's coming from and how does it apply to you specifically. In other words, where did you agree in writing to give these people the authority to violate your constitutionally protected rights? Where did you give that up? Now, some people will say, oh, well, they're assuming and presuming that you're a 14th Amendment citizen, and therefore, by having a license and a registration, all this stuff, you're under their jurisdiction. That's not true to the degree if you know who you are. You can utilize the public, right? All that I just described, yep, while staying in the private, but you have to know how to communicate to them in that particular realm and override their mandates by simply administratively asking, where did I contractually agree to have you deny my constitutionally protected rights? And if you can't present that contract, then your mandate is null and void. And by the way, the Constitution says specifically that it's the supreme law of the land. So that's always hasn't changed. If it's the supreme law of the land, well, then okay, what overrides it?
Exactly. But they coerced people. They fired people at jobs. There was a lot. And Andrew Cuomo and his brother Chris all came out this past week, I think, to excuse the expression, cover their ass mode. Chris mm-hmm. Cuomo said, "Oh, I got vaccine injured, but oh, by the way, the other part of me said ivermectin is dangerous." Right. And so he pushed that nonsense. So he's getting abused right now on social media. And then his brother, former governor of New York, and I left because of Andrew Cuomo. I left because of Bill de Blasio. I left because of Marxists in our government in New York City, in New York State. I left in 2020. I came down to Florida in 2021. I got out of there because I didn't like what they were doing. I had at least the freedom at the time to leave. But let me play a clip from Andrew Cuomo this week. And you're not going to believe this nonsense, because you should have heard him 4 years ago when I lived in New York. I heard him, and I'm sure people are going to replay his clips, but here we go. 1 minute clip from Andrew Cuomo.
I believe if government were to now say, we just made a finding that there's a new virus and everyone should do X, Y, and Z, the amount of compliance with X, Y, and Z would be much, much lower than it was at the beginning of COVID, because people do not trust the government, especially on this issue, the way they did at the beginning. And that would be a complicating factor, right? When you have people who just don't listen, because government had no capacity to enforce any of this.
What?
You must wear a mask. And people wore masks in New York. But if they said, I'm not wearing a mask, there was nothing I could do about it. You must close your private business. I won't. Well, there was nothing I could really do about it. It was really all voluntary. And it was extraordinary when you think about it, that society acted with that uniformity voluntarily, because I had no enforcement capacity. So you have a reduced trust in government.
The gall, what's that word? Chutzpah?
Chutzpah. Wow. Well, two things on that.
Please.
Number one, I would love to see that clip that you just showed played next to the Cuomo in 2021.
Yep.
Where he was trying to implement and demand and say all these different things and put fines out and even try to take the enforcement with the police to do it all. What a hypocrite. So what I'm seeing, which is number two, which is great, is that what he's saying is the truth. So the truth is coming out. And like you said, he's trying to cover his ass because now this is showing what the Republic was all about and what the Constitution was all about. It specifically states, United, we stand. So at the very root of everything of our country, God's law and everything, it's always we, the people, who are empowered. God granted us dominion over the land, the air, and the water. Okay, the Constitution is a derivative of said dominion that we were granted from our Creator, which is why we put in the Constitution we are all granted with unalienable rights endowed by our Creator. Right? And
Yes.
not government. And the government, it's all trust application. So in trust, you have a grantor, a trustee, and a beneficiary. We, the people, are the grantors of what we call original jurisdiction, which is constitutional compliant republic. Our elected officials, not voted, elected, very different, officials are our trustees for our posterity. We do a whole presentation in our workshops of how we specifically break down the Constitution and the preamble, more specifically, of how it fulfills all of the elements of an operating trust. So we are the grantors and the beneficiaries of the trust. Our elected officials are our trustees. And we, as beneficiaries, have every right through trust operation of law to remove our trustees when they are in breach of trust. Okay, so when he's going on 2, 3 years ago and saying blah 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 blah, you must, he has no authority to do that. It's a violation of the Constitution. Now, fast forward 3, 4 years later, and he's singing an entirely different tune because he knows that we, the people, through social media, through our own experiences, through some people who have been watching this, have had family members and loved ones die because of the tinker shot, if you will. Okay. And as a result of that, they're going, hell no, we're not playing. And now all the Nefarians, as one of our people in American Action like to call it, her name is Anana, she calls them the Nefarians. As now as the Nefarians are realizing that we, the people, are waking up to God's law, which is do not harm somebody, which is what that jab does. Do not take away our rights, protect our property, and keep your word. Well, now they're singing a whole different tune because they have no place to run. So they're going just like what the Pope did back in the 12th century. They said, well, Christianity is the majority of the world, or 1611 King James Bible, Christianity is the majority of the world. So I can't beat them because there's more of them than us. So why don't I join them? Just like how Columbus, who quote unquote discovered the Americas, said, wow, there's a lot of indigenous Moors here, a lot of Native Americans that are trained and live off of God's land. And it was actually the Native Americans and the Moors that taught the constitutional principles to the white man who came over. And the white man just came over with more guns and tanks, or not tanks at that time, but weaponry, and all of a sudden said, guess what? We'll employ you guys to be working with us, so we'll join you. And they learned how to till the land, they learned how to be constitutional from the Native Americans. And the Native Americans were simple people, the Moors were simple people, but had the law inside of them, and then they gave it to the white man who then infiltrated it, which is what we're talking about, how there was an entire infiltration. Now it's full circle coming back because, like we were saying, like water, God's law comes to the surface because it's the truth, and anything that's a lie by definition will crumble. Therefore, Babylonian falls like a house of cards. And Cuomo is an exact example of that right now, going, well, there's too many people waking up, so I better join them, otherwise my ass is grass. But the good thing about it is he admitted the truth. The government has no authority to dictate, to mandate, to violate your common law, constitutionally God protected and granted is trust language, granted rights, which is your right to life. And it's your choice. And the UN has recognized that. And the Constitution has recognized that the right to self-determination is an unalienable right. Yes, because you are sovereign within your own being. And therefore, by definition, if you're created in the image of the Creator who is sovereign, that means by definition, you're a mini-me of the Creator, which means you're sovereign. The only way you can give up that sovereignty is through your own sovereign decision, which is to volunteer, like Cuomo said, to give up your rights. That's it. And he was like, well, we almost got away with it, is basically what he was saying with not saying it.
He's afraid of a reckoning along with his brother. They're both afraid that the villagers, once they really wake up, I'm not talking about you and I, I'm talking about the vaxxed, you know, the program brainwashed. Once they wake up and realize they've been poisoned, and that day's coming, whenever it is, they're going to be like a Frankenstein mob. The villagers with pitchforks and torches, and they're not going through five stages of grief, as I've been saying for a long time. They're going through a reckoning, and they want bodies. They want revenge. This is yep. just a human reaction, right? A lot mm-hmm. of like, all right, I've been poisoned. I got turbo cancer. I got myocarditis. I'm dying in a month, right? You're saying they will throw out every human decency, and they'll go hunt down the people they perceive as their perpetrators. They're going to be doctors, staff nurses. They're going to be, unfortunately, politicians, lawyers. They're anyone in a business suit and a lab coat this fall, I wouldn't want to be in your shoes. I really would. It is why I do not wear a button-up shirt anymore. Blazer shirt, right? Polo shirt. But I'm not going to be one of them, because they're going to become targets. And if you think I'm kidding, just watch what happens.
I totally concur. There will be some sort of that justice that we're looking for. The people will take it into their own hands, potentially. In addition to that, they'll also go after mainstream media, not people like you, but mainstream media. You know, if you look at the Nuremberg Code, the Nuremberg, the original one, not the 2.0, which we're hoping will come. But Nuremberg, they went after the media. They went after not only the politicians and the leaders at that time, but anybody that was perpetuating a false narrative. And so if you look at over the last 2-3 years, and we have the videos and the records of everybody that have perpetuating the narrative, they can't claim plausible deniability. They can't claim the ignorance, because even in the law, they say ignorance of the law is no excuse not to abide by the law. So where there were so many people who were deemed conspiracy theorists, who were out on social media, in the public, frontline doctors, everybody that were coming out and saying this is not legit. So they can't say they were ignorant. They can't say they have plausible deniability. The information was present. If the quote-unquote conspiracy theorists were able to present valid information, and they, the ones who were promoting the narrative, chose not to listen to them or denounce it, that means by definition they had the information in their presence. So they cannot claim plausible deniability. As a result of that, they're complicit.
They're totally complicit, no question about it. You know, it's I'm waiting for Governor Cuomo, because there was a company called McKinsey Consulting. They're worldwide. In fact, France Senate wrote a scathing 356-page report that I actually went through and picked out the best of it and translated from French to English. And that was 2022. And they blistered all the consultancies that the French government under Macron hired, but especially McKinsey, right? And McKinsey represented 8 states that I know of, including New York, probably Louisiana, Alabama, Michigan, and several others that actually did what? That pushed the elderly out of hospitals into nursing homes where they died, where they were murdered. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm waiting. Why am I bringing this up? Because I guess if a noose is going around Andrew Cuomo's neck one day in a military tribunal, will he finally have enough courage, enough backbone that says, well, McKinsey's the one that consulted me. They're the ones that gave me the directions. They gave me the guidelines, because he's being subpoenaed now for an investigation in nursing homes. So this has not gone away. So now we're seeing both Cuomo brothers come out. We're seeing the New York Times come out on the vaccine issue, right? They're like, oh, there's vaccine injuries. And suddenly, like you said, mainstream media, it's all they're coming out because they realize they're screwed. They're trapped. Yep. They have to come out, and they might as well be the ones trying to wake up some of these people. But now they're pushing this stuff out there, and I find it very interesting.
Yeah, they're doing whatever. So my number one question to all of them is, well, it's great that you're bringing all this out now. How come you didn't do it at the beginning? Why didn't you do your due diligence as a proper journalist, as a proper politician who allegedly is supposed to be there for the people? there were so many people who said, you know, hey, what's in these jabs? What's in these shots?
Yep.
Just take them, just take them. I mean, the conversations were very present in not only in social media, but on the mainstream media. So there were, again, there's no way for them to
Well,
try to dig
and
themselves out.
even Trump took what he called a vaccine, but it wasn't a needle, it wasn't an injection. He took a combination of things, which include ivermectin and a couple of other drugs off the top of my head that actually in May of 2020 that worked. And yet the media squashed that, right? Because
Right.
the FDA could not have a UAE, emergency youth authorization, without another product that works in the market. So we knew another product with two products worked in the market. HCQ, hydroxychloroquine, and ivermectin, but yet they you know, Fauci, they attacked it. They sham studies on it on purpose to say it doesn't work, right? This is what they did. Even though it's worked for 80 years, both of those drugs, even though in December 2019, you could buy it over the counter in France with no prescription, but suddenly at the end of January 2020, in France, you couldn't, right? They took it off the market. So it wasn't just the United States. This happened worldwide. It was collusion run by pharma and the cabal. Jason.
Exactly, and that's and people say, well, you can't go after big pharma because they have some sort of immunity. I beg to differ, because even if the immunity is there, there's a higher law, God's law number one, but even constitutional law and federal law that says it's called willful misconduct.
Yep.
If now the information is coming out and it's proven that there was a collusion like you just articulated, then that by definition means they're basically relinquishing their immunity because they were conscientiously choosing to harm people, which is genocide, which is crimes against humanity, or
Correct.
even attempted genocide. And then the byproduct, if there has been millions of people died, then it's genocide, right? So that means their immunity is null and void because it was a willful collusion, conscious, malicious intent of willful misconduct. And the courts legally and lawfully recognize intent. I even had a conversation with a law enforcement officer agent who told me that in the state that I was in, they said we operate off of intent. Well, that's not just and so they'll excuse people if they see that the intent behind the action was not for malicious action, right? So the law recognizes that. Now, if you look at big pharma and you look at all the politicians and everybody, the countries that were in collusion with the C-19, right?
Yep.
Then that means it was willful misconduct, conscious malicious intent to do harm, and therefore immunity is bye-bye. And you can hold each one of those people in big pharma, in FDA, you name it, liable in their private and professional capacity for crimes against humanity, ergo Nuremberg 2.0.
Amazing, isn't it? Let's go into the PowerPoint and get into God's rock because, you know, I am not a Bible historian, but I've been a believer of God since day one of my life. And what does that mean? Well, God's worked through me and he put me on this path to fight the cabal. I guess, you know, I asked God at 6 years old, what's my purpose of life? And decades later, I learned my purpose in 2020, right? Everything I've been working towards led here. So this show is episode 98. God's rock is God's law. And I called Jason up a couple of weeks ago because I was kind of excited, not, you know, and I told Jason, I go, look, I didn't come up with this. God had a bunch of different people, all the pieces to the puzzle of like what has gone on for the last 80 years and where we are now came from different people. So, you know, for me to take credit for anything is wrong. But I tripped over Daniel 2:35 and I spent a couple of weeks ago, I spent like 4 hours going through different videos of different pastors creating, you know, Daniel 2:35, which is the essence of the statue of the five kingdoms, the different material, gold, silver, bronze, iron, and iron and clay feet representing the five kingdoms. And I was like, okay, that's really interesting. And then all of them, I mean, literally everything I've looked at, even I asked ChatGPT, what is God's rock? And it just says divine origin. It's a hold on. We have five metals that metaphorically mean five kingdoms, right? And you go through the kingdoms from Persia, Babylon, all the way to the one world religion we're in today. But the rock is just what? A rock. It's just, are you kidding me? It's a meteor? No. You can't have a dream that is half metaphorical and then one part of it's literal. Like, no, it doesn't make any sense. So I was very frustrated. And then it dawned on me when Sheila Holmes sent me a 52-page paper from 1949 called Military Government, one light bulb went off. We've been in a military administration, not devolution, not continuity of government like people have believed. We're in simply a military administration, and they're invisible. Hands invisible. I'm like, what are they doing? Well, then I remember the law of war man was updated. Announcement updated was 2 days before Trump came down the escalator on Trump's birthday, which is also Flag Day, June 14, 2015. That was a Sunday. The law of war man was made the announcement on Friday the 12th of June, 2015. So I'm like, you're kidding me. It all connected. I realized Iraq was God's law because, right, it's God's law versus the Babylonian construct, as Jason's been talking about, right, is man-made law. It's totally inferior to what God is, right? Totally inferior, all the regulations, everything's inferior. And then I realized the only thing to destroy Babylon is not an Armageddon war, but is God's law. How do we return to it? How do we exit Babylon? The military. The military is that. And then I thought about the four horsemen. The first one with the arrow doing what? Well, in my opinion, it's aiming at jurisdiction. What's the jurisdiction? It's the military tribunals. What's the next one? It's a legal battle, the war horse. What's the third one? Scales of justice. That should be very obvious. We're in a court of law somewhere. The fourth one's a grim reaper. Well, let's remember, Jason, that Yahuwah is a God of the living, not God of the dead. So it's only the grim reaper is going to take the dead away. And it's not going to be God's children, right? Because you and I talked about tribulations. The tribulations coming from tribulum. And what's tribulum? It's threshing board. And I was blown away by that. And then you bring up this great point in this quote. So let me read the quote, and then I want you to dive into this quote. This is Daniel 2:35. Then was the iron, the clay, the brass, the silver, and gold, broken to pieces and became like the chaff of the summer threshing floors. And the wind carried them away, that no place was found for them. And the stone that smote the image became a great mountain and filled the whole earth. Jason, it's all yours.
Thanks, first of all, bravo, and even unpacking it and having that download, which is great. When we talked, I wanted to bring this back. This goes all the way back to Genesis in the beginning. Okay, everybody has looked at Genesis to some degree and is familiar with that. In the beginning, there was God. In the beginning, God created. So we talk about the law, and in very basics, we talk about law is defined as the land, the air, and the water, which is three jurisdictions, as you mentioned, okay? And then if you go back to that quote, if you bring the quote up, we can unpack it, and people can...
Let's go there.
Because that way they can see it and how we can compare and contrast it to Genesis. And then the Grim Reaper and the living and the dead. Okay. So we talked already on this call about everything comes from source energy. Babylon is built from energy. It can't be built from anything other than that what exists. The preface to 2:35 was there is the king. And this king, the image of this statue that was crumpled was an image of the king himself. If you go back into Genesis and also even Exodus, they talk about adultery. You can't have adultery because the only thing that exists is God's law. The one, the only, he was, he is, and always will be. If you look at this quote, then there was the iron, which is an element, okay? The clay is another element, the brass, the silver, and the gold. So let's look at all these elements, okay? They're all coming from God's creation. Silver, gold are precious metals that come from what? The earth. Brass, clay comes from the earth. Everything comes from God's creation. Broken to pieces together. That's interesting language. Pieces, broken to pieces individually, but then together. So now they're all coming together as one element and became like the chaff. Chaff, if you look up the word chaff, it could be seeds. It also could be reminiscence of superfluous debris that is no longer used in like a mine. And if you look at the rest of the language, it's the chaff of the summer threshing floors. Well, we know it's not going to be in reference to seeds because when do you plant? You plant seeds in the spring. But this says the summer, so all these elements are useless. So they're blown away by what? The wind. Well, where do we first hear about the wind? In Hebrew, it's ruach, which translates to spirit. If you go back to Genesis on day six, God was existence, was, is, and always will be. But it was God that created what? Man with what? The wind into the nostrils to give man a soul. Right? Yeah. So wind is in reference to spirit, ruach. Neshama is soul. And the wind, which is God's consciousness, and in meditation, you're aligned with the wind to master the mind, the breath. And it carried away the superfluous, the iron, the clay, the brass, the silver, the gold. And if you look at this verse, it talks, it went from the head all the way down to the foot of the statue, to where all of the reminiscences were on the grounds, like threshings on the floor. And then God came in and blew them away, and no place they were to be found. Boom, just like that. That actually looks like, how about those, the tablets that were destroyed?
Yes.
It looks just like that.
It does.
So if you look at this picture, it also looks like the Tower of Babel coming down. If man begins to idolatrize thyself with gold, with silver, and all the way down, God comes in and says, I created man with my wind from the elements of the earth. You have access to them because I granted to them you as your benefit, right? Through this trust application called the Torah. The trust indenture. The head of this is gold. So man, thinking that they are the king of all kings, will soon be smitten by the true king. And then it goes down to silver, which is also exchange and currency. So if you abide by the value of gold and silver, you will be fooled, because if you're walking through the desert like this picture so readily depicts, and you've been walking in the desert for 40 days and 40 nights, and you're dying of thirst, and here comes a Bedouin with a camel, and on one side of the camel he has gold, on the other side of the camel he has a bottle of water, what's going to be more valuable? Well, the water, which is another element. Right, coming from God.
Yes.
So God comes in and says, all the way to clay, all the way to iron, all the way to the earth, and then the rock is formed. And the rock in Hebrew and in Judaism, rock, there's different names for the word rock, but in traditional symbology of Hebrew and Judaic teachings, Kabbalistic teachings, the rock is symbology of God. Okay.
Yeah.
When you say the rock, you're talking about God's presence. So if that verse, when you go back to Daniel, it says, and then the rock was all over the earth, meaning it was God, the whole earth, and the great mountain, and filled the whole earth, which means God's presence overrode the idolatry of man thinking he was king. And it went to dust, just like from whence they came, which is the Grim Reaper. Because from dust you were born, with the wind giving one a soul, and dust you return. And all that remains is the consciousness of God that was, is, and always will be. So do not forget from whence you came and who truly is in charge and running the show. That who is in charge is that which creates. There's a maxim in law that says that which creates controls. So if God created everything, including but not limited to the soul of man, then who's running the show? God is. And in that verse, Daniel very much depicts it, just like it was back in Genesis. The elements, it came from the earth. God created the earth. God created a man. If you think that you're God and greater than God, God has another story for you. And therefore, return to the earth from whence you came, and all that remains is the experience of God is, was, and always will be. And therefore, if you go back to the biblical principles, those that were connected, like the forefathers, they roamed the earth in oneness with their creator. Fast forward to the indigenous people of the Americas.
Yeah,
they roamed the earth in harmony with God's law, until man, thinking that they were greater than, came in through force to build this thing called the Tower of Babylon, or the Babylonian Empire, okay, or corporate.
Correct. Oh, Jason froze. There you are. Good. No, I'm with you on that. I want to play a brief video on the Pope and the Crooked Cross. I'm not Catholic, but a lot of my friends are Catholic, so this doesn't affect me. And we've been warned through the Bible continuously about wolf in sheep's clothing, false prophets, so on and so forth. And I, you know, a lot of we saw this in 2020 during the lockdowns, Jason, that what a lot of these churches, including the Reformed Church I was born in, a hometown, all locked down for the by the government in order to keep their tax status. They closed literally for fear and for money. And I'm like, disgusting. It's that was as disgusting as Cuomo saying,
Yeah.
"Oh, I never forced anything on you." Wrong. Here we go. Let's play this quick 1 minute video on the Pope getting his what exposed, I guess.
Pope
Listen to
Paul
this
VI, by
before
the way, is the
TikTok
first
deletes
one
it.
to introduce this bent cross or broken cross. Let's read about what this means. Pope Paul VI wrote a papal encyclical that called on the nations to abandon sovereignty to form a world government. So the Pope himself was behind this and actually called for such a government. And about this twisted cross, here's the quote for you. Paul VI made use of a sinister symbol used by Satanists in the 6th century that had been revived at the time of Vatican II. This was a bent or broken cross on which was displayed a repulsive and distorted figure of Christ, which the black magicians and sorcerers of the Middle Ages had made use of to represent the biblical term mark of the beast. Interesting quote. Yet not only Paul VI, but his successor, the two John Pauls, carried that object and held it up to be revered by the crowds who had not the slightest idea that it stood for Antichrist.
Yeah, interesting, huh? And there is a lot of, you go to the FBI website, you could find you know, that the triangle that's looks like a spiral, but it's a triangle, not a whirlpool, right? And that's supposed to be a pedophile symbol for the pedophiles to communicate with each other. And there's been pictures of different religious leaders. I'm not going to go pick on the religions, but they have these symbols on them. So it's sort of like they're satanic pedophiles. And I'm like, once the people wake up and realize now we can identify, because they wear this stuff in public. It's sort of like the Monster energy drink can has the sixth letter of the Hebrew alphabet, and have three of them, and that's 666, and it looks like fingers, claws of a monster. That's the energy drink. Jason, just it's in our face quite a bit.
Yeah, and it's disturbing. And at the same time, there is a universal law that says one has to disclose what's happening. And if they don't disclose it, then for lack of a better term, it's mischievous. It's against the law, basically. But once they disclose it, okay, and nobody rebuts it, then whatever it is that they're disclosing stands to be true. So when the Pope comes out and says, we want to abolish, the sovereignty of the states and make it a one world government, perhaps under his ordainship, if nobody says, hold on, I'm not playing your game, and he continues to move forward without any objection or rebuttal, then that which he's disclosing is going to stand. Again, so it comes down to each one, man and woman, standing upon their own sovereignty and saying, thanks for your offer, Pope, and anybody associated with you, government agencies, agents of the states of which are corporations. Thank you for your offer to contract with you, but I respectfully decline. So when Cuomo comes out and says, I never forced anybody, it was your choice. Well, coercion isn't a conscious choice. It's still a choice. And that might be his gray area that he's banking on. But when you go back and you look at everything he did in 21 and 22, coercion is against the law because you person can't make a choice under duress. It's non-contractual. It's uncontractual with laws. It's also universally non-contractual. And it goes back to biblical principles when there were covenants in the Bible. And God approached his prophets, his chosen ones, including but unlimited to Abraham, Moses, Jesus, and said, hey, I want you to do this, but that's an offer. And then there's a contract or a bind, a bound, binding, a covenant. And then God says, you do this for me, I do this for you. Okay?
Yeah, absolutely.
And the Pope is saying, here's my offer to the world. I want to stop all sovereignty of the countries, because countries are made up of people, real countries, not corporations, which are masquerading as countries. They're made up of people, and people are sovereign within their own being. So he's going, yeah, I want to destroy the sovereignty of the countries or of the people. And if nobody says I disagree, then he can potentially push that agenda through, because it's called tacit agreement. Just like everybody volunteered to put on the masks, just like everybody volunteered, those that did, not everybody, but those that did, I was one that did not. All those things, they did it on their own volition, but was it full disclosure? No. Was it under coercion? Yes. Therefore, was it really a choice?
Now, in fact, it impedes free will, doesn't it? God's given free will, and yet the Pope wants to take free will away.
That's right. And you know, this goes back there, I forget the year, but there was the Vatican, the Pope, I forget which Pope it was, but made a trust to own every soul on the planet for perpetuity.
Wow.
But how do you do that without the consent of the soul?
No, you don't.
If property in law, if the property has to be granted, or there has to be an exchange, then unless it's tacitly, voluntarily given over due to ignorance, then no one can stake a claim on somebody else's property. Now, somebody to attempt to stake a claim upon your rights, but unless you rebut that claim, right, then whoever's staking the claim can theoretically and legally, not lawfully, but legally take claim of it. So that's why it's up to you to say, hey, no, you don't have claim upon my soul. You don't have claim upon my rights. That's what you are as a sovereign being. But unless somebody rebukes that and rebuts it, yep, then that claim can't stand. That's why in the courts, when they summons you into the court, or you get a summons in the mail, or if you get any documentation, it's an offer. And they'll say, you did this, you did that, so on and so forth. And sometimes people just throw those things away. But by doing that, they've accepted the claim against them. And now the claim stands in court. And that's how they pull people into court. And they create a charge, which is currency, which is energy. A charge is energy. It's currency.
Correct.
And you have to discharge it and get it settled, so there's no charge. Like Jesus did that very well. When he was brought in, he knew how to speak God's law, and he knew how to speak their law, and he knew how to answer accordingly so as not to contract.
And he knew how to display righteous anger and flipping the money changers' tables over in the temple.
And that's right. And because the temple was symbolic of kingdom of heaven, right? Yeah. And the money changers are symbolic of Babylonian Empire, which is commerce. What he was doing in that action was saying, you have no jurisdiction in this temple. You have no jurisdiction in this temple. You cannot you cannot serve two masters. You cannot bring in the money into the kingdom of heaven, because the money is unclean. Your Babylonian Empire is by definition not the kingdom of heaven. It's a shadow world that you created in the mirror image of the kingdom of heaven. And you're trying to bring in commerce into the kingdom of heaven, the temple, and that's not going to happen. So I'm throwing over the tables, because you have no jurisdiction in this particular world.
Amazing, isn't it?
And it's yes, and it's no different than when somebody goes into the courts, which are the courts are all private for profit corporations, which are subsidiaries of the corporation, the state of, or the county of. And if you
Correct.
go as a living, breathing man and woman, you can challenge jurisdiction because they only operate in the legal fiction. So when you go into the court from the kingdom of heaven, if you were to go into the court, ideally you can try to settle everything outside of court, because why would you go into a jurisdiction that you aren't compliable with? You would be serving two masters in that way. But the point is, you need to challenge territorial jurisdiction, subject matter jurisdiction, in personam jurisdiction, and saying, hey, you guys are for the corporation. Where's the contract that I am bound to do business with you in your private for profit corporation called the court, masquerading as a justice system? And when you come in knowing who you are, in alignment to the truth of who you are, now through the administrative process, like Jesus did, he spoke, he also knew their law and he knew God's law, he challenged jurisdiction. And therefore, the matters had to be settled. Right? The discharging of the currency, the energy had to be settled. And so that's what we teach you could do with Americans in Action administratively, but it begins with knowing who you are. Now, the courts, caveat on that, when you convert a court from a military tribunal court or a private for profit corporation to a constitutionally compliant court, now you can have the opportunity to settle a matter through equitable means, meaning God's law, trust law, constitutional, real, organic constitutional compliant law, as opposed to corporatization, statutes, codes, and regulations, and all that garbage, mandates which don't apply to you, the living man or woman.
Absolutely. I tested some of those mandates in New York City, some of those rules, regulation guidelines. And what was interesting, Governor Cuomo, his office sent around posters to all the restaurants in the city, you have to comply with this. And yet you'd go into executive orders, you wouldn't find anything from Governor Cuomo on any executive order pushing this, so they knew to keep his neck out legally. This will be his excuse, I'm sure, right? And you didn't find any law, legislation backing up these posters, but these posters were enough to make these restaurants basically threaten them, like threaten the churches. If you don't comply, keeping people with no masks on, or no vaccine card or anything like that, you're in trouble. And that is actually what happened, because I know I went through it. Half the restaurants would let me in without the vax card. Other half wouldn't. They really clearly didn't know. And in the places I went to, all knew me personally. I'd lived in Manhattan 30 years, so they all knew me. And so when I saw this imbalance going on, I'm like, really? The government is evil. My response.
That's right. And well, now here's a yes, and a caveat on that. In disclosure, full disclosure, within the system,
Yep.
legal system, there's a remedy, an out. I'll give you an example. We have a book on Americans in Action called Project Stay Open, which is like a 100-page book that we compiled. And if you look at that, it was a book that talked a lot about public accommodations, which are recognized in the legal system, public accommodations. And it talked about the legalities and the laws, which basically said how customers can shop without having to put on a mask, without having to prove that they were jabbed, and how store owners and restaurants and public officials are liable for trying to impede or impose a regulation against somebody, which would violate being a public accommodation laws, which would violate statutes. So we helped specifically many small businesses in our county stay open with no trespassing signs, with certain language. We pushed OSHA out many times, to the point where they couldn't enforce any of their mandates because legally they had nothing to stand on, and we would use their language against them For example, when OSHA would say, if you know, we're going to violate you for not putting a poster up or having a mask on, we would look into OSHA's language and in the codes and the statutes, and they would say it's a hazard if you don't do these things. And that's how they were trying to do it. But when you looked up the definition of the word hazard, it had very specific definitions of what a hazard was. So then we would say, well, you're saying this is a hazard, so please show me where not putting a poster up in the window is a hazard based on the definition of hazards, and therefore it's not a hazard, so I don't have to put it up. Number one. Number two, in a restaurant, for example, your OSHA is supposed to prevent hazards. So if we have a cook in the back off in the restaurant wearing a mask, isn't that a hazard? Because if that mask falls off onto the grill or catches his face on fire, you've now, OSHA, through your mandate, violated your own rule of stopping to create a hazard by creating a hazard by having somebody wear a mask. Furthermore, and we just went on with all these different things.
I love what you did.
Yeah. So
I wish I had you on my show in summer 2020, but keep going. This is great, Jason.
Yes. So things like that, it's like knowing within their codes, there has to be a remedy. And another example, I mean, I was helping all these people personally, all these people in our America's Acts were helping people like this. And that book, Projects Stay Open, talks about public accommodations, what it is. So one example, I was going in personally, going into, I did this many times, but personally, I went into a coffee shop, a communist coffee shop that we didn't really communist until this whole thing happened, and I went in without a mask. So they were threatening to call the cops and this, that, and all this other stuff. Eventually the cops came, so three of them, and so I had a conversation with them. I said, well, this coffee shop is a public accommodation. Do you know what a public accommodation is? They had no idea. I said, and by the way, in your own statutes, it defines what a public accommodation is. And as a direct result, in your own statutes, it says that this being a public accommodation, they are it is illegal for them to discriminate against me for not coming in to do business at their public accommodation for not wearing a mask. And by the way, the statute is here. So you have two choices. You can either enforce the statute of trespass against me, or you can enforce the statute, because you're a policy enforcer and these are the statutes are the policies in which you need to enforce. Or you can enforce the statute that says this is a public accommodation and put a citation against the business owner here because they're in violation of the statute that says they can't refuse business to me. But what's it going to be? At the end of the day, the cop looked at me and he said, I don't like wearing a mask either. And I said, listen, officer, then don't wear it. And that was the end of our conversation. And then I left. We were free to go.
You educated three police officers and a coffee shop, I think.
Yeah, well, the people that worked at that coffee shop no longer are there, and now the coffee shop's very cool. So
that's great to hear. Seriously, Jason has always been phenomenal. You got a minute or two, close out any direction you want. AmericansInAction.info. Talk about that. Pleasure to have you on as always.
James, it's always a pleasure to be on your show because we never know where we're going to go. But yeah, you can contact us at AmericansInAction.info, AmericansInAction@ProtonMail.com. I'm Jason Ian. I have a TikTok, Jason Ian, J or J E N, J I A N. I'm sorry, JIAM 1133. That's my TikTok. If you want to email me directly, go through AmericansInAction@ProtonMail.com and put in the subject J. We're doing a Q&A on May 11th, which is tomorrow, and then we're doing a workshop, a weekend workshop, on June 9th and 10th, or 8th and 9th. It's on our website. So reach out. We're all over the place, and we would love to connect. And you can also check us out at our sister website, spiritawarenessfoundation.com, where we talk about spirituality. And the founder of American Action is there too, Christo Hart. He's the founder of Spirit Awareness Foundation as well. So we're all over the place, and it's always a pleasure. Stay conscious, stay free, and stand strong. Much
and
love to you.
Believe in God. God's law wins at the end of the day. We're the children of God. We will be free from the Babylon system soon enough. Jason, I'll put the links into show notes for the people, and see you very soon. Thank you.
Thank you, James. Always a pleasure.